they are troubled relationships. We feel we miss something. We miss the old. This is what happens when you are on pilgrimage. You are meant to exit the old world. It's fine. It's okay. It's just what is meant to happen. If you carry the old world with you, I mean, you will always carry the old world with you, but if you excessively carry the old world with you, with all your friends are around and so on, you will not really move significantly forward in your spiritual life. So going on pilgrimage or coming to a festival like the Sangha Mela offers us a unique chance to really concentrate on, I said to one devotee, the known stranger. You know, yes, we know that Krishna is there, but sometimes we feel a little bit distanced from him, like we do feel when we meet a person who is a stranger. So this such a program like this one is meant to bridge, you know, the difference. It's meant to know Krishna more, to know your relationship with Krishna more. And for that, it is sometimes good if you have your head free, if you have your life free for focusing on this important project. So we will start today with the first of two lectures called Prayer is the Key to Krishna's Heart, or also The Art of Praying. And today I will try to lay the foundation a little bit stronger than I could yesterday, when most of you were still arriving and maybe exhausted from the journey and a little bit, yeah, in the adaptation mood. Man muss sich ja anpassen und einfügen und sich irgendwie orientieren. So good. So we will go deeper today, and then in the last session we will become extremely practical. But I will also recite to you an amazing prayer, the prayer of a dying man. It will be very, I think, touching in some ways for some of us. Good. So let us start. The text in the Bhag, the Sanskrit text, is up there. Good. Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihari Gopirana Vallava Giri Varadari Gopi Jana Vallava
Hare Hare
Once again, please. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan. Gaura Premanandi, Hari 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 Bo. From the sixth canto, chapter 16, text 32. It is about prayer and a very surprising type of prayer. Sa Uttama Shloka Padabja Vishtadam Brema Shru Leshaya Upamehayan Muhu Premo Parudakila Ema Banuda Vana Nirgamo Naiva Shakat Tang Pasamiditum Siddham Sautama Shloka Padabhya Vishtaram Sautama Shloka Padabhya Vishtaram Prema Shulishar Upamehayan Muhu Prema Shulishar Upamehayan Muhu Premo Paruda Kilavana Nirgamo
Premo Paruda Kilavana Nirgamo
vashakattam prasamiditum chiram. Sautama shloka padabhya vishtaram.
Sautama shloka padabhya vishtaram.
Prema shulesher upamehayan muhu. Premo paroda kilavana nirgamo.
Premo paroda kilavana nirgamo.
Naiva sakattam prasamiditum chiram.
Naiva sakattam prasamiditum chiram.
Yes, please, someone else. Maybe one Mataji. It's not difficult. Please try. You will. Sau tamashloka padabhya vishtaram. Prema shulesha upamehayan muhu. Premo paruda kilavana negamo. Naiva shakattam prasamiditum jiyam saha. Hi uttama shloka of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Padabja of the lotus feet. Vistaram, the resting place. Premashru, of tears of pure love. Leshai, by drops. Upamehayan, moistening. Muhu, again and again. Prema uparuddha, choked with love. Akila, all. Varna, of the letters. Nirgamaha, the coming out. Na, not. Eva, indeed. Ashakat, was able. Tam, unto him. Prasamiditum, to offer prayers. Chiram, for a long time. Please let me give you the context, den Zusammenhang. This is describing how Chitraketu, after a really eventful life, a problematic life at times, but also a fully lived life. Was taking shelter at the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shesha. And it is described that he was surrounded, this Lord was surrounded by liberated persons. And Chitta Ketu stepped forward, and as soon as he saw the Lord, he was overwhelmed by love. And then we hear what happens. With tears of love and affection, Chitta Ketu repeatedly moistened, befeuchten, the resting place of the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. So the Lord was sitting and his feet were resting on a footstool. Is it footstool, I think we would say, a footstool. So his tears came so copiously, I mean so many of them came, that he made this foot resting place wet. Because his voice was choked up in ecstasy, for considerable time he was unable to utter any of the letters of the alphabet to offer the Lord suitable prayers. He could not speak, in other words. Purport. Please listen to this. It's a really amazing purport. All the letters of the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, and so on, all the letters of the alphabet and the words constructed by those letters are meant for talking about material things. Sorry. I was influenced by some old construction. Let me do this again. All the letters of the alphabet and the words constructed by those letters are meant for offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, what Prabhupada says is a big claim here, that, you know, there are so many letters and you can combine them to words. You can take some letters of the alphabet and make German words. You can make English words. You can make London Harbor slang words. You can construct from the letters of the alphabet all kinds of words. But they are meant, really, for offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Chitta Ketu had the opportunity to offer prayers to the Lord by composing nice verses from the letters of the alphabet. But because of his ecstasy, for a considerable amount of time, he could not join those letters to offer prayers to the Lord. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Idam hi pungsas tapasa shutasya va svitasya suktasya cha buddhi dattayo avichuto ta kavibi nirupito yat uttama shloka gunanu vananam. If one has any type of knowledge and abilities, scientific, philosophical, political, economic, or any other abilities, and wants perfection in his knowledge, he should offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by composing first-class poetry or engaging his talents in the service of the Lord. Chitta Ketu wanted to do this, but he was unable because of loving ecstasy. Therefore, he had to wait for a considerable time. Hare Krishna, Hare Seva. Hello. I will repeat for you again. So it says, any knowledge and talent should be used to offer prayers to the Lord and also to engage our talent in the service of the Lord. Sita Ketu wanted to do this, but he was unable because of loving ecstasy. Therefore, he had to wait for a considerable time before he could offer prayers. I need a moment. So, yes, this is the situation. He knew, I'm standing before the Lord. Now I have to join the letters of the alphabet, bring them together to offer prayers. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prajaline Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskadyare Radhanine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Anandi Gauraktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Do you know what is emotional disconnection? It means you are maybe in a relationship and all of a sudden in the midst of doing something with your friend, you feel actually our ways have parted. He is now in some other world than myself or she, and you feel emotionally disconnected. Or it can happen during performing any activity which you do, you all of a sudden may wake up and think, what am I doing here? I'm wasting my life. It may happen in the temple, during a ceremony, during a lecture it could happen. Oh, what is he talking about? Doesn't relate at all to my life. And then a disconnection, an emotional disconnection happens. What does this mean? You don't like it any longer, or you don't like the person any longer, and you then have a question. I mean, the problem I see is people, to have an emotional disconnection, you first needed to be emotionally connected, but sometimes people are not living their life fully. They are just finding themselves, you know, without thinking, I get some money from this, and then I will look at a Bruce Lee movement and my aggressions will be vented out like this, or in some ways. But I'm speaking now of a normal human being who is with it, who is engaged, who's participating in life, in relationships, in what is happening, and then feels an emotional disconnection, and as a result, distance himself from an activity, from a circle of friends. Have we not all felt this when we became devotees? We studied our life, or we looked at our life, and we felt there is no taste and no meaning in it. We were not. Our friends might have said to us, "You're so different." No, what happened? Yes, a disconnection happened. I don't want to now speak about the tragic situations of material life. No, it's normal that this happens, because how can the soul for a long time be satisfied with anything material? It's after some time you feel, I need to go on, I need to move on. But I want to talk about spiritual disconnection, emotional disconnection from Krishna. This is a serious problem, my dear devotees. The moment we don't feel anything for Krishna any longer, the moment we are no longer with Krishna or with it, then we feel this disconnection, and as a result, whatever we do will not really satisfy us, because how can you, after giving up the relationship with God, you know, the supreme fulfilling occupation of us, how can you then be satisfied with something less than the Lord? All you can do is to distract yourself from this grave mistake which you have made. And this is our ongoing problem. Now, prayer can solve this disconnection, this emotional disconnection from Krishna. Prayer is an intensely personal activity in relationship from to Krishna. It's, you could say, the most intimate conversation with God you can have, a personal conversation. It's in some ways a meeting again with the Supreme Lord. And thus it can be like a bridge that leads us above and beyond our material desires. It can just a bridge, you know, which brings us over a river. The prayer can bring us over the raging river of our material desires and so on. Because it is a connection, because it is intensely personal. Prayers is maybe the most universal spiritual expression which you find in all expressions of religiosity and of spirituality. It is celebrated as an expression of praise or gratitude, and it prayers. Some prayers have echoed throughout the centuries, and even they are known to us. But my dear devotees, to go into the art of prayer, you have to learn to pray heart deep, not lip deep. It's very important that it comes from the real I, not from the false I. Yesterday I talked with someone, and he said, "Maharaj, you really made me thinking about the real I. I think I have four eyes." Please explain. Yeah, for instance, if I, in the morning, I have my alarm clock for 6 o'clock, and it rings, ring, ring, ring. I know I want to get up at 6 o'clock because I wanted to chant and I wanted to read before I go to work. But then, this is what I wanted last evening before I went to bed. When I wake up, I want to just stay in my cozy bed.
you know, and just sleep another round, you know, so on. So then another eye comes. Then I finally go into the shadow, and I say, "Darn." Darn means alas, or oh, oh. I should have gotten up. Then my other say, and then when I am finally at work, I forget about everything. I'm just thinking, my God, we have to get this going. I have to make this phone call. I have to get some more money. It seems I have not. I have at least four eyes, if not more, during the day. That is our problem. When we are emotionally disconnected from Krishna, we tend to be scattered. Also verstreut. Ne? If you can chant a hearty prayer, it will help you to organize the many conflicting emotions. Have you noticed this? You sit down in these rare moments when you are centered and Krishna conscious, and you pray to Krishna, and everything comes together into one thing. I am only needing you, my Lord. I'm your servant. All the different emotions, desires which you have, ideas in your life, all come together because the prayer has helped you to bring you in contact with your ultimate goal, for what you are, for the goal for which you are ready to give everything, the goal which is still relevant even when everything around you changes. No partners, jobs, occupations, services may change, but the goal does not change, Krishna. Because prayer is a heart deep activity, it brings us immediately, if we are willing to go all the way, into the center, our own center, around which everything naturally is meant to gravitate. The moment we lose that center in our lives, oh, so many things come. So many desires, ideals, problems, and so on. But if you return to your ideal, to your real center, by the help of prayer, ooh, you will become extremely strong. But it must be heart deep. It cannot be lip deep. I have a quotation here from one Ephraim Pretorius. Sounds like an old name. I don't know Mr. Ephraim Pretorius, but he said something nice. He said, "And the best prayer bursts, it means it comes out freely forth from the heart to God, when the urgency and need puts the right words into the mouth." Yeah, he says. Maybe he's a black person. Yeah. A prayer acceptable unto God can be even uttered without words, through the fervent, silent cry of the soul, through the inbrünstigen, stillen cry, Ausruf der Seele, ne? And sighs and longings and then groanings of the heart. So he says, the best prayer comes freely forth from the heart. It needs to go from the heart, and it goes to God when the urgency and the need put the words into the mouth. Very, very nice thing about heart deep prayer. In the Bhagavatam, we find two, I know of two references, there are many, many more references. Atmanam, Atmanam. The self, what you think is the self, should go and be in contact with the deeper self, no? And then you can pray. Or in the case of Gajendra, it's differently explained. The mind should move into the heart. Stay in your head and you will be dead. Hare Krishna. I'm speaking London English. I'm learning. So when you pray, you don't stay in the head, in the mind. You go with your intention and so on into your heart, and you speak from there. The language of the heart, or we could even go deeper, and of the soul, can be sometimes not like the words. It can be a sincere cry for Krishna. Oh Krishna, not many words, just a one Oh Krishna. When that Oh Krishna comes really from the deeper place, from your center, Krishna immediately say, yes, 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 what? What? There's a saying, a week without prayer will make one weak. Should I say it again? A week, 7 days, without prayer will make one weak. It's the opposite of strong, no? Oh. Because if you do not pray, you will be mostly emotionally disconnected from Krishna. And then you don't participate fully as your full self in life and in spiritual activities, especially. There is a common doubt. Can God hear my prayer? And can he respond? Are you knowing this doubt from your own life, Vishnivallabha? Is he hearing, actually? I'm so insignificant. Why should he listen to me? My dear devotee, if you chant heart deep, he will listen. It's like Prabhupada explains in the... where is it? In the... On chanting Hare Krishna, he says the chanting should be like the genuine cry of the child for the mother. Yes, a genuine means it's a heart deep cry, and then the mother immediately said, "Yes, yes, yes, yes. I'm just coming, just coming. I'm already there. Don't you see?" This is how the chanting is, which is our supreme prayer. Yes, when you really pray, the Lord will immediately respond. There is a more important question, I think, is, are our prayers worthwhile? Are they worth it? There is a statement, I found this from Sutapa, very nice devotee in London. He quoted Teresa of Avila. Who knows Teresa of Avila? Yes. She came up with the expression, the dark night of the soul. And her disciple, yes, she was a woman guru. Her disciple, John of the Cross, worked more about it and wrote this beautiful prayer song. It's more a song about the dark night of the soul. You may know. She is very much known in our culture. And she said, more tears are shed in this world from prayers that are answered than from those that go unanswered. You know, like I'm thinking of something which is very common in our culture. A person prays, a martyr prays desperately, "Oh Lord, send me a good husband." No? And then she gets a husband, and then, after some time, both of them are full of expectations in the other person. And as you know, no person always fits in your expectations. And then there is divorce. Yes, it's a big, big subject in the Hare Krishna movement. Whew. Last year, I witnessed 8 divorces amongst my disciples. 8. I fainted. I said, I will never initiate again. What are they doing? You know, this is, you learn. Don't expect. Marriages are for learning, not for that the other confronts your expectations. That's not how life is. Life never, ever is what we expect it to be, because we're receiving life. We are not creating life. And if you listen very carefully to life's lessons, they are always in your best interest, because the life happens due to Krishna. Anyways, you know, the reason I was going there is more tears are cried in this world from prayers that are answered than from those that go unanswered. Because we are distracted, as I said originally, and we sometimes pray for the wrong things. But we pray heart deep from the wrong things, and then the wrong things are given to us. We really want this. We want to be famous, we want to have money, we want to have a position, we want really to have this house, and this new jacket is highly attractive. We really need it, want it, desire it, and so on. We go totally in these distracted things, but then we cry because it does not fulfill our expectations. So therefore, this is a very nice statement. More tears are shed in this world from prayers that are answered than from those that go unanswered. So this, yes, Krishna hears the prayers. This is the point here. Krishna hears the prayers. Krishna responds to the prayers. And so on. I would like to give you an example from the Shastra now about an amazing prayer and the result of that prayer, which was answered immediately. It's a wonderful case in the Bhagavatam. It is often repeated. I believe you must have read it already, but I will nevertheless repeat it for you. It's about Gajendra. He was in a great crisis. He found himself in the greatest crisis in life. He was attacked. He knew that the fight in which he was involved could not be won by him. He knew he would be defeated and be killed. So in this, by this shock which he felt, you know, when you are in a situation where you know I'm about to die and I cannot avert it, I can't change it, that's a great shock. Doctors know when they have to give patients the diagnosis, it seems your cancer is fatal, now pray that maybe a miracle may happen. But modern medicine cannot help you any longer. The patient is devastated very often, more often than not. No? I know from one of our devotees who is a criminal officer, she's a Mataji, when she had to go to the family and tell them, your son has just been killed in a terrible crime. She saw scenes where she had to even keep a person, a parent, a father or mother, from committing suicide or doing harm to themselves because the pain was just so intense. But it's more intense when you know and you are not prepared that you have to die. This was Gajendra's situation. He was shocked. But due to the shock, sometimes we say shock therapy, no? Due to the shock, he remembered something which he had forgotten. He remembered a prayer which he had prayed in his last life. In his last life, he was Indradyumna Maharaj. Not our Indradyumna Maharaj. He was Indradyumna Maharaj, the king of the Tamil country. And he had retired when he came to the age where kings retire, and had built himself a little cottage in the Malayachola Hills, where he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now once, he sat before his cottage and he performed smaranam, a type of meditation. He was deeply absorbed in the Supreme Lord, and so much he was absorbed that his senses stopped to perceive the external reality. He couldn't hear, he couldn't see anything. And just at this moment it happened that the great saint Agastya Rishi came to his cottage, and he expected Indradyumna Maharaj to get up and receive him. He failed to recognize that it was not possible for this saint. Does this remind you of another meeting like this? Yes, which meeting? Parikshit, thank you. Parikshit Maharaj came to whom? Shamik Rishi. And Shamik Rishi was also not able to receive Parikshit. And just like Parikshit became upset because he failed to recognize that he was in Samadhi, he was not ignoring him, but he was in Samadhi, Agastya Rishi also became upset and cursed him to become a very dull, unsensitive, person with no perception. He said, you will become an elephant in your next life, with a thick skin. What is the understanding of elephants in our cultures? Are they dull or are they sensitive? Sensitive? Sorry? Usually dull, yes. There are different Pandits with different perspectives. So let us stay with the dull version. I know that they are highly afraid of little mice, but maybe otherwise they are dull. Huh? So Gajendra became, Indradyumna Maharaj became an elephant, and once he went with his, it's called his Herde, wie sagt man, his pride. But pride is only for lions, I think. With all his associates, mostly ladies, he was a male elephant and the leader of all these. He came and took a bath in a beautiful scenic lake. But there, lo and behold, he was attacked by a crocodile. We hear the two, the elephant and the crocodile, were karmically related. There was some karma between the two. And the crocodile was such a huge monster crocodile that it pulled Gajendra further into the lake and began to, you know, eat on his leg. It was blood came, and Gajendra was shocked. He knew this is the end of my life now, and was so shocked that, as we said before, he remembered the prayer. I know when something very shocking happens, a remembrance can occur. I know of a Buddhistic master who would tell his disciples to sit and meditate, and then he would go in the midst of them and shoot a gun. And it was so loud that the Buddhist monk were, you know, startled. But sometimes in their startling, they came to a next level of consciousness. Tibetan yoga, you know. hopefully you don't lose the point. A shock can sometimes wake us up. Maybe some of you have experienced this in your life, where the shock was almost like a wake-up call. I have experienced this a few times. Any one of you? You know, where you were shocked, really. Something happened that was so shocking that, oh, my God, if I go on like this, this will have serious consequences. I better turn and give up my wrong behavior. So in the same way, this shock was like a wake-up call, and he remembered the prayer, and he said the prayer, and Prabhupada says, thus he was immediately saved by the Lord and became one of the Lord's associates. You know? Krishna came, the Lord personally came, he killed the crocodile who was just starting to eat from the leg, the whole elephant, with his chakra, and he liberated Indradumna Maharaj from this curse of being an elephant, a dull elephant, and Indradumna Maharaj came out of the elephant body, in his and the Lord took him as one of his associates. So this is a case study for a prayer that was immediately answered because it came from a deep place. It was prayed with a meaning. I mean, you don't fake when you are in such a situation. You don't say, oh Lord, my greatest fear is that I will not be able to surpass the impediments. What's a note on the WhatsApp, please? You know, you will not pray like this when you are in an urgent situation. You will really pray from a deeper place. No, you will bring your mind finally into your heart, and then a connection, an emotional connection can happen to what you do. My dear devotees, what is attractive to the Lord? We must see, you know, what does the Lord want to hear or see of someone who prays to him? It's a good question, no? What should we bring to our prayer? There's a beautiful verse in Rupa Goswami's Padyavali, text 8. It comes in a chapter which he has called Bhajan Mahatmya, the glories of bhajan, you know, how to do bhajan means personal worship. And here comes the, and he answers what attracts the Lord. He says, Madhava, Bhakti Priya Madhava, he says. Madhava is satisfied with the bhakti of his devotees. And then the Sanskrit continues and the translation means, and out of affection he cares for them. So Madhava is satisfied with the what? The bhakti of his devotees, and then out of affection he cares for them. He responds, he answers. And then some cases are brought. What maturity did the 5-year-old Dhruva have? Dhruva Maharaj? Young, 5-year-old, what maturity did he have? What was the piety of the hunter Dharma? The hunter Dharma was really not dharmic. He was killing so many animals. What piety did the hunter Dharma have? What erudition? Erudition means knowledge. What erudition did the elephant Gajendra have? He was no scholar, an elephant. What beauty did the hunchbacked Kupcha have? What wealth did the florist, the flower seller, Sudama have? What was the credential of the birth of Vidura? Vidura was born from a Sudrani. And what was the strength of Ugrasena? Do you remember Ugrasena? Father of whom? Kamsa, yes. He was imprisoned by Kamsa. So what maturity, what piety, what knowledge, what beauty, what wealth, what birth did they have? But this was not important because Madhava is satisfied with the bhakti of his devotees. And out of affection, he cares for them. A beautiful shloka. You can be immature when you pray. You can be an impious rascal when you pray. You can have, like the hunter Dharma, you can have no knowledge. Yes, you never went to Bhakti Shastri. No scholarship. You can be ugly like, don't want to say names here. You can be ugly like Kupcha. You can be poor like Sudama. You can have the lowest birth and no inner strength, no outer strength. If you have bhakti, Madhava will be satisfied with you. And out of affection for his devotees, he will care for you. Again, my point is the prayer must be heart deep, not lip deep. Yes, you must come to this place. And this is what everyone has in common here. And that's why the Lord responded to each single case which is mentioned here. Now, when you have said your prayer, what should you do then? It is interesting. You should take the desired action. You should also do something. You should not just sit, but you should know Krishna will help me, and then do something great. Like I'm at the moment praying. Every day there are so many wonderful opportunities which have opened, but I feel myself limited in many ways and so on. So I'm praying now, my dear Lord, please allow me to serve. please allow me to serve Srila Prabhupada, and so on. And then I think the Lord has heard my prayer, because it really came from I tried to come from a deep place. Then you must take action. Yeah, I will be active. I will get my telephone repaired. It is soon, 1st of January, or 2nd, or 3rd, or 4th, it will be repaired. It's fixed. It's an old-fashioned telephone. You have never seen such telephone in your life. But it will be repaired. I will get active. Then you should apply some patience. Take action, but also some patience. You are in the waiting room of God. You have made your appointment, and you are waiting. I know of 2 days ago, a tooth broke. The first person I thought of was Krishna Kirtan. But then I thought he can only do the tooth repair in London, and this may be too late. I may be already screaming with pain and may have to be locked up. Then I said, I was preaching to some people near Frankfurt, and I requested them, do you know a dentist just nearby? And they found a dentist, but I had to wait for 1 whole hour in the waiting room. It was a good opportunity to preach to my neighbor. 1 hour, if you have ever been to the dentist or to any doctor, you go to the desk where you're received. They take your details and your health insurance. That's most important for them. They are said, the doctor will be informed and he will come as soon as possible. Go to the waiting room. The same is when you pray. You have made the appointment. You have registered yourself when your prayer is the right type of prayer. Now be patient. Wait. And then the last thing is something which will be very new for all of you. It rhymes even. Things will happen. And you will most probably say, like you say most of the time in your life, this is different than I have expected it. Most of us you can explain it psychologically, you can explain it through neural pathways which we have made. We have a certain pattern which has come to us due to our past experiences, which we either liked or disliked, and therefore we have burned some sankskaras into us, and now we react to whatever happens. And most of the time, it's different than we expected. Because life is something that is given to us. It's not something which we can control, and so on. So when something will happen, and you might say, that's not what I prayed for, Krishna. But look again. Krishna might have answered in the best way for you, though not in the way which you expected. I announced to you at the beginning of the lecture that I would say to you a prayer of a dying man. This prayer, which I will read to you, was sent in one of the messages which His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj sent out before he left his body. Our Maharaj, I think most of you will know him from his literature, The Spiritual Warrior and The Beggar. These are serious, where he has written or his reflections on Shastra, like Shikshastakam, etc. Our Maharaj wanted us to see, to learn a very important lesson, to leave the body with in Krishna consciousness, and he would send out these very moving and very straightforward newsletter. They were not newsletters, letters which were posted on internet. If you have not read these things, I really recommend it, but it's serious reading. It's right at the pulse of life and death. So in one of his letters, he wrote a prayer, and from the sound of the prayer, you know it is not his voice. He quoted this prayer, which was written by an unknown soldier on the battlefield. Can I read this prayer to you?
Serious.
I asked for strength that I might get what I wanted. I was made weak that I might learn to become humble and obey. I asked for health so that I might do greater things. I was given illness that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I had asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. For me, the line which really explains this prayer is, I asked for power that I might have the praise of men and get what I want, but I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. It's a thought-provoking prayer, no? Our thoughts are provoked, no? What is with my prayers? Are they worthwhile prayers? Are they prayers for the right thing? And more so, what is about the answer to my prayers, which is the life that is given to me by someone much higher, much more in control than me? Am I satisfied with this? Or do I lament and complain because it does not fulfill my expectations. These are questions which can be answered by each one of you, must be answered by each one of us in their own time, in their own way, because they will prepare us for tomorrow. Tomorrow, I don't know. Tomorrow, Buddha Bhavana, I think, gives a lecture. But the day after tomorrow is the second part. We will go right into three types of prayers, which we learn from Narottam Das Thakur, and then hear a few examples and do a few. Let's see what we do. I have to see how you are taking all of this in, and then decide what to do to bring you to a deeper level. Yes, so far I think I have to look. Yeah, Krishna. Yes, I will have one. I have the ability to answer one question if you have a question on this subject. Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal.
Hare Krishna. I wish to ask a question to what you mentioned yesterday in connection to the Damodar Leela, where you spoke about Yashoda heavily endeavoring to bind Krishna.
Yeah.
And she came to the point where she was very desperate. Found out she couldn't bind Krishna, and then Krishna agreed to have himself bound. And I'm thinking of this one finger which is mentioned, or these two fingers. One is Krishna's mercy, one is our endeavor. I'm thinking of our endeavor. I was thinking, for me, relevant is not how much endeavor do I need to do, but what kind of endeavor, especially relating to my life being as a grihastha, working, and often it's a struggle to have that endeavor that we always connect it to sadhana, like a decent sadhana. We're struggling to have a little decent sadhana to be connected with Krishna. And I'm asking, and then on the other hand, you feel how strong you're in the grip of material nature, how strong you're in this condition. Is it also an endeavor to kind of, how do you say, to accept that grip of material nature, and out of this grip, this desperance which comes out, is that an endeavor enough, knowing that my little sadhana, I can do such a little thing, you know?
Have you all understood, Jai Gopal, Vishnu Vallabha?
Maybe what the
question is it an endeavor enough is it the desperance enough to say to Krishna, how I am stuck in this world, and my sadhana is, my endeavor is so small? Is there's also Krishna kind of recognized
that
never to tolerate this grip of my
Is Krishna satisfied with the little endeavor which we can do, so to say? But you covered a lot of other very important aspects in your question. See, there is a very important quotation in Prabhupada's book, and I have to see for a moment with our Gaur Krishna if this is part. We have collected some quotations of Prabhupada which we call words of inspiration, and we send it sometimes to devotees. So There's one quotation. Please, Gaur Krishna, see if we have the right quotation. I mean, see means think. It says, 1 ounce of bhakti, one little portion of bhakti, is more worth than many... Here I lose it. I don't know exactly the quote, but I remember 1 ounce of bhakti is more worth, I think, than the biggest endeavors without bhakti. Something like that. Do you remember this quotation that we have? No. We will look for it later. So there is an instant... We always say to devotees that when you do your sadhana, I do not wish to speak about the quantity, that is up to you, but do it with quality. Touch something real. Have a connection while you do it, because that is what really counts for Krishna. The mechanic Arctic machine, that is another thing. We may sometimes need an Arctic machine, but I'm. It's not what a devotee should do, his bhajan-like or his kirtan-like. There is a beautiful story about the death of Janaka Maharaj. Have you heard about Janaka Maharaj? Who is he? Father of Sita Devi, yes. And he is known as one of the 12 authorities, the Mahajans. When his death came, it was glorious. He was taken by airplanes back to the spiritual world. But on his way, he somehow passed hell. And he heard the tortured souls screaming, "La, la, la, no!" They're really screaming it. He felt so much compassion that he said stop to the airplanes which were going, bringing him back home back to Godhead. Remember, he was a ruler. Rulers are not politicians of today. The rulers of the old time, they feel like fathers to all their citizens. They feel responsible. They want to care for them. So he was a righteous king. And he sat down in hell before the gate, the entrance gate of the town of Yamaraj. The town is called Samyamanipur. No? He was sitting there. So was wie ein Sitzstreik, ne? Sitting there. As Yamaraj heard about it, there is this most saintly Janaka Maharaj. He's on his way back to Godhead, but he has stopped in the hell, and he sits now before the entrance to hell. Yamaraj said, "What does he want? Why is he here?" And he went out, and he saw Janaka crying, and Janaka said, I have so much pity. Is there anything I can do for these tortured souls who scream?" Oh, said Yamaraj, "You wouldn't like to do something. One of them was doing this crime, the other did that crime, they murdered. This is necessary to set them on the right path." But Janaka Maharaj said, "No, my compassion is so strong, I don't care. Is there anything I can do?" Yamaraj said, "Okay, one thing. Remember the day when you were worshipping Lord Ram? And we were singing Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Potita Pavana Sita Ram. And you were crying because you were so moved? Do you remember that moment? Janaka said, yes, I remember. So, give consciously the merit. Merit means das Verdienst. The merit, you know, the benefit of the merit is the English word. Give that to the people in the hellish planets. That will be enough. Just that one moment where you cried for Ram. That is so powerful. That is so transcendental. Give that. Janaka sat down, meditated. I wish that this moment that the Lord gives not to me his pleasure, but he gives his pleasure to the souls in hell. When he said this, Jai Gopal, the torture machines broke. The oil in the kettles evaporated. Because that one moment was so powerful that it could stand up against all these oceans of sins which were there. I'm aware that it is difficult for our devotees to sometimes chant 64 rounds a day. The minimum of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm aware that devotees have difficulties to fulfill their quota, whatever it is. I was joking a little. Chant with absorption. Learn to chant with taking it serious. I was yesterday in this situation. The whole day, it was actually my rest day, but the whole day was full with appointments. And in the evening, I had not completed my rounds. And so I sat down, and it was already late, 9:30. And everything in me said, young man, go to bed now. Go to bed. Here, said my mind, go to bed, sleep. You read yesterday a quotation for a preacher. The rules of the Vedas can be transcended. You know, go to bed, go to bed. Mr. Preacherji, go to bed. I'm tired. I'm tired of you hearing your chanting. It's not good chanting anyways. You know that. Go to bed. Go to bed. Go to bed. Mind can be... Then I found it. I was staying in Gaura Hari's apartment and I saw legs on the left side. Affirmations for japa. I chant each one of my rounds with great happiness that I get to chant, I will chant, and some other modern slogan. I'm honoring Radha and Krishna's presence in the holy name. And all, you know, 16 such strong affirmations, I said. So mind, leave me alone. Have you read these affirmations? I'm going now strong. I'm not going to bed. I don't care for you. You are not always my friend. Just sit down now and you can participate. That's the best for you. Or anyways, I will chant anyways. They were not the best rounds I ever chanted. It was late. I was tired. But I'm in the situation. I don't have to work. I don't have to do... I mean, I have to work a lot, but not this type of work. I'm meant to... This is the ashram where you're meant to take these things serious. I'm, you know, in this ashram... So, I want to say just touch connection, then that's important. Touch eternities, touch something which is real. Therefore, we should not do lip service, but we should do heart service. Our chanting shouldn't be lip deep, but heart deep. Our prayer should not be lip deep, but heart deep. I think my point is clear. I'm knowing now that many devotees forget what I'm saying. So I want to say just two things which everyone can take home. So thank you for this question. Go to the essence. After all, you know, we are a spiritual movement. We are not a movement of Arctic machines. You know, let's do things correctly with bhakti. Madhava is pleased by bhakti and he cares for his devotees. There is no mention of great efforts. It's bhakti. But at the same time, give your best. You know, what is love if you don't give your best? If you say to your friend, I really like you so much. Then the friend arrives in your home with his luggage. And he says, it's very heavy luggage. And you're there on the balcony and say, carry it up yourself. It's a good muscle training. I also do muscle training, see? No, you should go down and carry the luggage up of your friend. He's maybe exhausted from a lot of traveling. So give your best. Give your best. And let Krishna do the rest. Good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai. Will you pray? Some of you are starting to consider praying. I can see this. Maybe during the festival you can pray a little heart from the heart. Huh? Abhay, maybe it is. Consider. Please consider. Hare Krishna.